All right, before we get back to the calls here in hour number two, along with the youngest in charge, Mr. 4 and 10, baby.
Lynnell Willingham. Wait until this week so you can stop saying that.
By the way, we got a Thursday night game already. I mean, these weeks go by so fast. I mean, like literally just feels like my guy Bobby Turner was just drawing it up on Monday night for who was the backup running back? Derek Mason? What was his
Jordan
name?
Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason. Derek Mason was somebody else.
Wide receiver for the Ravens, there you Titans.
Go. Jordan Mason, my guy Bobby Turner, who I covered for 4 years and I've stayed in touch with and just got to see at the end of December. He's got a wonderful, wonderful family. You know, talk to a couple of members of his family all the time. Just good, good, good people. That game was literally like Monday night, and here we go. You get 2 nights of rest, if you will, and boom, into a Thursday night game, and it's an AFC East divisional battle right here on the Team 980. Bills, Dolphins, 2-1-0 teams, two teams that didn't look great in the first half of their games last year, had to come back, both won, but already the injuries, Raheem Mostert, who had 19 touchdowns last year, out already. And Devin Achane is a game-time decision, and Josh Allen is banged up already. And we know Curtis Samuel's always banged up and hurt, although he, you know, he got back in the lineup, whatever. The quickness, if you will, and the turnaround time is just unbelievable. And also, I do want to mention this before we get back to the calls.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible for this, what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to be honest. 9/11 was so long ago, 23 years ago, that unfortunately for me, because of how busy I am at this time of the year, I often forget that it's September the 11th until I turn on the television in the morning and I see, you know, whether it be CNN or NBC or the locals or whatever, all of the tributes, the solemn tributes at the World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, or at the Pentagon, or in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where I drive past all, you know, not immediately past, but within a couple of miles of, every time I go back and forth to see my kids. Today was the 23rd anniversary of what happened on that unbelievably horrific morning, and with the thousands that passed away. And I just, you know, I'm admitting a flaw in my own world right now. The last couple, I've noticed this, where I'm not even aware that it's September the 11th until I turn on the television. And I just want to say, you know, obviously we're thinking about everybody that was affected, and everybody was affected in some way, but everyone that went through that and had a family member or a friend or something, you know, we're just thinking about everybody. I know you were, 3 years old when that happened? So I can't imagine you have much of a memory of it happening live, right? But you've seen a lot of, you know, the fallout, you know, from that. I mean, it's just, it's still unbelievable to think what happened on that. On that morning. And the fallout from it.
It is unbelievable.
All right, so we're keeping everybody in mind. I wanted to make sure that we spent a minute on that. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's get to, I believe, Dontell in Maryland has been on hold the longest. What's up, Dontell? How are you?
Man, what's happening, man? It's so good to hear your voice today, man. I'm telling you why. Because listening to Chia this morning was a complete catastrophe.
What?
Wait. So, Coach, wait. You're saying Coach Sheehan was a complete catastrophe this morning? Why?
What did he say that you didn't like?
Not just him. It's just him and his callers. Just everybody was way offline, man. I'm like, man, this has got to go.
Well, fill us in because I didn't get to listen to a lot of it this morning. What happened? Did any big picture? What was the big picture takeaway? They were what?
Listen, I mean, they were sitting there talking about how bad Daniels was, missing reads and all this. The whole team is bad, and then they want to give him a B+. Look, everybody on that team.
Well, I give him a B plus too. Trail, look, that's my grade for him.
Listen, B plus, no sir. Everybody on that team, every single player on that roster, should get a C-, with the exception of Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, because they get Fs.
Do you think? So you think Jaden wasn't as good as a B plus?
No, no, not at all. And I'm giving him, you know, I understand that he's a rookie, but
okay, I hear what
the
you're
thing
saying.
That I don't like.
So is Coach Sheehan? Like so hold on.
D, I'm confused. So, you were mad at Coach Sheehan and his callers because they were too critical of Jaden, but yeah,
they weren't critical enough of Jaden. What were you saying?
I thought you said it was because they were too critical, and then you said everybody deserves a C minus or below.
Be critical of others also.
Okay, gotcha. Well, but you know how
he's
this
the quarterback.
Works, right? He's the quarterback,
he
and he's the number two overall pick.
Right, but they also didn't get him that receiver that he needs.
We got to stop with this.
You know what I was looking forward to?
What were we looking
for? I was looking forward to all the callers that had us winning 10 or 11 games because they laughed at me when I said six was our ceiling.
Well, I'm not a caller, but I thought we were a 9-10 win team. I still think, despite what I said on television,
beep, beep,
that we are a 9-10 win football team. I still believe that.
You sure they're not going to win 15? Like you thought earlier in the offseason?
You're nothing but a can of tuna.
I'd be impressed if we get five.
I mean, listen, look.
If they lose to the Giants on Sunday.
I mean, people are going to lose their, you know. Everybody has counted the Giants as an automatic win, and I just keep telling you that defensive line and the kid
that
from Maryland, Deontay Banks, is better
absolutely
than,
nothing on Sunday against Minnesota.
I understand that.
I mean, couldn't get pressure on me.
We are locked against the Giants. I don't know how we are locked against the Giants. We're terrible.
They're a lock. I think they win, but I don't think they're a lock by any means. I think it's going to be
Jordan Renan on Book It Wednesday said, quote, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau are going to have huge games Sunday versus Washington.
I mean,
they didn't do dog bleep.
Well, they were also going against Christian Darrisaw on a better offensive line.
Yes, but they did nothing. Well, we have a pretty good offensive line. After week one.
The one thing that sticks out is, how do you not get the ball in Terry's hands at all?
I think it's a fair criticism as we've dealt with over the years here. To me, it's as simple as they don't want to throw, for whatever reason, by any offensive coordinator, whether it be Scott Turner, whether it be Eric Bieniemy, and now one game of Cliff Kingsbury, they do not believe in the core fundamental belief that I have, which is take one step from under center or out of pistol, flip your damn hips, and throw a quick out or a quick slant or a quick hitch or something to Terry McLaurin to get him involved early and let him try and make a play and get some oil running through the engine. It is amazing how many times we have to wait until midway through the second quarter for Terry McLaurin to see a target. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And I'm not a blame the coach guy for everything, but it's a problem. Dante, I appreciate you, man. We got to let you run. We got a lot of calls so we can get to. Let's go to Nate in Upper Marlboro right here. What up, Nate? How are you?
Nate.
What's going on, fella?
Nate, what's shaking, bacon?
What's up, Nate?
Ain't not much, man. I'm not worried about Jaden Daniels at all right now, man. I mean, we got to realize, you know, he's still a rookie, and he got to grow. You know what I mean? we got examples all across the years of rookie quarterbacks who bad years or bad rookies and then turned into Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? I mean, Peyton Manning owned the interception record as a Drew
that's
Brees.
That's every fan's favorite thing
Drew
to throw
Brees
out.
Drew Brees didn't really hit his peak until the Chargers was ready to trade him, and they gave up on him. You know what I mean?
Nate,
and not to mention recently, Geno.
Nate, I'll give you this for comparison because the team that I continue to say Washington emulates is last year's Texans. They were god-awful in week one versus Baltimore last year. C.J. Stroud did not look like the C.J. Stroud we saw all year. He was under siege all game long. He was sacked five times. It's just week one. But I will say this, let them go out and lose Sunday to the New York Giants. I am going to fire everyone.
But I'm going to say, it depends for me at least. It depends on how they lose because, you know,
I don't care.
Back
don't
looking
depend
at
on
all
nothing.
These no, I'm saying, I'm looking at all these other games, right? And this is a little pushback at Rusa and the Doc because, you know, yesterday I know y'all two don't really like to blame coaches a lot. I'm not saying coaches deserve all the blame, and I'm not saying players deserve all the blame, but they all go hand in hand. Mm. So as I look at the Jets, I saw the Lions, I saw the Rams, San Fran, Baltimore, Kansas City, you name it. They force-feed their players. Not only do they force-feed their players, you can see how the plays are tailor-made for their players. Look what Garrett Wilson did. Every play you could tell was tailor-made for Garrett Wilson. That when they was running their plays. They had him in motion. They had him in the slot. They had him over here. They had him over there. We don't do that. Look what the Rams did with Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Look what Dallas do with CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
The moment we put McLaurin in the slot, he won. He beat McLaurin. To me, McLaurin, if you focus the offense around McLaurin, I think everything else will open up. I think the running game will open up. I think other plays will open up for the receiver.
It's not only putting him in the slot, but one thing that has grown exponentially, and all the data, again, that the number nerds come up with proves it, is running him in motion at the time of the snap, meaning snapping the ball when he's still in motion. That is something that's grown exponentially in the NFL, thanks to Mike McDaniel, Sean McVay, and Kyle Shanahan, and so on and so forth. And that's something that they don't really do, right? If you want to leave him on the left side, if you want to occasionally put him in the slot, that's good, but don't just leave him on the left side. Have him run drag motion.
Exactly.
Have him run. I mean, I was stunned that there was no jet like jet inside handoffs on Sunday.
Here's the other thing that drives me up a wall. Why do we choose to throw screens to Luke McCaffrey and Olamide Zaccheaus and not Terry?
Exactly. Like,
that's,
you got the weapons to throw the screens to, but you choose not to use them.
But we don't give
nothing to defense to think about.
Nate, I hear you, but like, I can't come out of week one and that be one of my top complaints. It's not near the top of the list for me.
All I'm saying is we got to let him grow. Like, if you look at his track record in college, he got better each year. Right?
Well, that's exactly why I'm going to say this. I know I've been critical, and I know I've been wanting more, and I know I've been probably critical, more critical than I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. Jaden Daniels, we started the show with Jay Gruden saying he reversed back to the pattern that was at Arizona State. What we have is Jaden Daniels, a documented history of him working his ass off with the virtual reality on the field, this, that, and the other, in the building, all that stuff. Not working on his chest, not working on his biceps so that he looks good in pictures. working hard on his game, okay? And so, to me, that's why this is a complete, again, overreaction on my end, on everyone's end. Yes, he did not play well enough, but there is a documented history that Jaden is going to work his ass off to get better. Now, the question is will he be able to at the NFL level? And that's what I worry about more than will he put in the effort. I think he will put in the effort, and I think he's got a documented history of getting better. The question is, this ain't the SEC anymore where there's three good defenses and everybody thinks it's great. This is the NFL where the worst defenses are probably on par with the best defenses in the SEC.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I haven't given up faith on Caleb Williams yet. He only threw for 93 yards.
And you should.
I mean, we got, you got Brandon Love. Yep. You got, what's my man, Kansas City? Mahomes didn't play his first year.
Yeah.
He got to sit on the bench, learn, and grow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all part of the maturation process. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. Good call, as always. I got to let you run so we can get one more in here. Sean in Connecticut. What up, Shawnee? How are you?
I'm good. I hope, I'm on the highway right now, so I hope you guys can hear me well.
We got you, baby.
But yeah, I just kind of wanted to give my couple thoughts. I'm not too worried. Like you just said, he has a pattern of growing and getting better the more that he plays. But we'll just, if that's remained to be seen, if he can do it at the best level. I think he can. And you guys brought up a good point on, I will never understand. I will always wonder for the rest of my life what Terry McLaurin could have been with a good quarterback and a good offense for at least most of his career. But I'm really hoping that they wake up and start feeding him the ball like he deserves. And you guys made a good, I think it was Linnell, made a point talking about you're running screens to McCaffrey and someone else. They ran a tight end screen for John Bates.
Yeah.
Are you like, what? I don't, John Bates is, I don't want John Bates
the tight end screen. Yeah. Like, I get it. You're trying to, oh, well, they're not expecting it. Well, they didn't get the, like, they didn't get the ball to his hands, so obviously it didn't work.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Sean, and I normally understand where you're coming from here, but if you're going to be in 12 personnel some of the time, right, and I don't even have the percentage what they were in on Sunday in terms of 12, meaning John Bates is going to be on the field because he's the only guy as a tight end that can block, you're going to have to live with some attempts to throw to John Bates. You're just going to have to, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
You know?
Yeah, I understand that. But a tight end screen, like, I just don't think that's the best way to utilize him. And I just think that it blows my mind how these other teams with wide receivers that are better than – I absolutely love Terry on and off the field. I think he's a I there's not enough good things I can say about Terry. But there are a lot of wide receivers that are better than him, and yet they still find ways to get 5 to 10 catches. And then you see Cooper Kupp, who's – I think Cooper Kupp is a Hall of Famer, but the reality is he's probably on the tail end of his career. And he still get – what did he have, like, what, 12, 14 catches? And that was after Puka was out, so there's even less. Like, it just blows my mind how we've had a good wide receiver, one good wide receiver for the last 4 or 5 years, and it just – we never – or very – very rarely seem to force feed him the ball, and I just can't understand how other teams do it every week and we can just never seem to do it. And then my last point is, someone made a comment earlier about how Baker Mayfield was giving them, I think it was Ross, giving flashbacks to Carson Wentz, and I could not agree more of the escaping the pocket. I feel like for my entire life, when we do get pressure, they always find a way to wiggle or worm out of it. I want to see the guy on the ground, and
they never close. They almost rarely never close ever close the trap door.
Exactly, and this is my last point. I promise. If Daron Payne and John Allen don't, like, I am at my wit's end with them. I know they had some good plays. I know you can't. I'm not blaming them for everything. Our edge rushers aren't great. Our secondary is the worst secondary in the league by far, but. I'm sick of making excuses. I'm sick of them going on social media and, like, complaining about people talking trash about them.
Well, we're gonna get into the latest on that that's a good little appetizer.
I feel like the John and Daron commentary is, like, a little overblown. They're the only guys you have up front. They were both top 10 in pass rush win rate this weekend.
All right. Defensive tackles. Hold off on this.
They weren't great, but they weren't terrible.
Hold off on this. I want to come back with a couple of final phone calls, and then at 2:30, on the other side of 2:30, we're going to hit what Daron Payne said on social media, okay, and how John Allen handles it, at least with the junkies here on the Team 980, and we'll get into all of that nitty-gritty stuff, okay? Is that fair?
Sure.
Let's do that. Real quickly, John Bates, Sean's not going to like this, had 7.6 average yards of separation on Sunday. The league average was 2.96 yards, which tells you one thing. Nobody bothers to cover John Bates because guys don't get 8 yards open, right? But them's be the numbers. Right, I mean, if you want to throw the ball to somebody who's not going to get a lot of attention and not get a lot of coverage, John Bates might be your guy. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. So I'm trying to have a conversation with Linnell during the break. Right, Matt comes in, tells a couple of stories, gives us some Pop Tarts. What was that? Pop Tart Bites? Is that what it was?
Pop Tart Crunchy Poppers.
Okay, very good. I had one Crunchy Poppers.
Terrible name.
Basically,
snack.
Like little tiny Pop Tarts, right?
Yeah.
Imagine pouring it in the bottom of a cup. So, and then putting just enough milk.
Yeah. Oh, do it like cereal?
Especially if it's spoiled milk. Inside milk. Joke. Anyway, milk. So Linnell, Matt, you leave, right? And I'm like, all right, I'm trying to get information from Linnell about something. And
you're trying to completely pry into
and he's eating like this bag of, what are they called? Hot fries? Is that what it is?
Yeah, only the hottest.
Right? And he's like, got them, and he swingles like a whole bunch of them. I don't know how many. And then he starts talking like in full and complete sentences. And I would have taken that more than what I got after you left, which was.
You're my ear.
Weirdly, as I was walking out the door, he was so loud with that, I actually could hear.
I mean,
I didn't know what he was saying, but I could hear the monster noises.
Normally, people would eat and they would be like, "Hang on a second, you know, like, hang on, give me a second here, you know, like, chop it up, whatever." Linnell just goes full bore ahead, no stop.
I don't need to be, you know, worried about manners and food etiquette when you ride around with heads of lettuce in your suitcase.
Heads of lettuce in my suitcase. There are no heads of lettuce in my suitcase. Stop.
Today.
Let's go to Aaron and Clinton on the Team 980. Aaron, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Are you there?
Hey.
Aaron, are you there?
We got a new Aaron? Is this a new Aaron or is this the same Aaron? Oh, okay. We just switched the lines. Okay. All right, same Aaron. What's up, Aaron? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Hey, listen, man. I don't understand us as fans. We always make the excuse for this team for the last 25-plus years. We're talking about week one. Here's my question to you guys. How does this team look different than any game last year, right? Okay, we had two and a half people, who really earned their pay? Daniels, Echols, and Robinson. Everyone else, it was just they shouldn't get paid. Here's the problem with, I'm about to tell you, here's the problem with McLaurin. He's not a number one. We're paying this guy $20 million. Here's the problem with Payne and Allen. We're paying them $20 million to do what? They should be effective. They should be game-changing. So when we talk about we're not worried about it because it's week one, so am I the only one that saw people out of place? Am I the only one
You're not the only one. Here's the thing. They were effective on a select number of snaps. I don't have the exact number for you, but I mean, if I had to just guess in my mind, out of the 60 offensive snaps that the Buccaneers ran, they were probably effective on 10, 12, somewhere in that range.
There are good individual performances defensively, and I don't want to make it seem like it's the entire defense. Daron Payne played like a damn man possessed and had the second highest win rate on non-blitz plays all weekend.
But you can win and not close the back door. That's the problem.
No, Chris, please, let me have this moment because I mean, this analytics bullcrap
has nothing to do with that. Live by.
Right. It's these coaches putting all these cute-ass sayings on the back. No, listen.
No, it has nothing to do with slogans.
These coaches putting all these sayings on the back of these
You're
T-shirts.
A walking
Guys
slogan.
Guys don't run to the football. Maybe if all 11 guys swarm to the football, you can miss and still get a sack. Because you can't tell me Daron Payne didn't do his job. He made Baker Mayfield lead. He was the only guy that got pressure consistently.
You're a walking slogan.
I'm a walking slogan.
I mean, they just let the back door open all game long. All game long. Now, whether that's Daron Payne, whether that's Jonathan Allen, whether that's Cleveland Farrell, who everybody seems to love, which I still don't get. What the hell does
Cleveland Farrell do?
I'm just saying. Like,
what does Dorrance Armstrong do? Dante Fowler and Jamin Davis were their best edge rushers on Sunday.
It is more than just winning your initial block. It is more than that.
Exactly. If you win and you lose, then what have you accomplished? You just did your job. That's all you did. You are effective doing your job, what you're getting paid for. We make excuses for these guys, and they're not doing their job. Our linebackers were ineffective. Our secondary for the sixth or seventh year in a row is inconsistent and shouldn't be playing. Our secondary is horrible. What our kicker? We haven't had a kicker, and I don't know, since Mark Mosley, it seems like. You know, I don't understand why we as fans – we make excuses for this team. That's all. We're not going to be any good. We lost 7 out of 10 to the Giants. And guess what? If Barkley was still at the Giants, we probably would lose. But I will tell you this. If we win, it'll be less than 3 points because we're just that bad. Listen, which guy on the team, I challenge you, 5 players, that stood out for you, offense and defense? Five players. Pick five that stood out.
Deron Payne.
Jamin Davis.
Deron Payne.
Jamin Davis.
Was awesome.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson.
Yes. And Daniels.
And again, Daniels was flawed, but yeah, I'll put him in more in the good category than the bad. I disagree with Linnell saying that Deron Payne was awesome. Deron Payne won a lot of his and put initial pressure on, but Deron Payne also, there were bad gaps, there were arm tackles missed. That game wore on, you could see the impact. And again, part of that is not on him. I get that it's week one and it's a team defensive game. But when you're making the kind of money that these guys are making, people expect you, whether it's right or wrong, to finish plays and to not constantly be Niagara Falls flooding over and pouring over. And that's what we get a lot of the way, a lot of the time. Yes. Appreciate the phone call, Aaron. Thank you.
One more. Just let me say one more thing.
Real quick.
I can tell you right now, this whole roster will not be here after 3 years. Allen and Payne won't resign. McLaurin won't resign. The only person that they showed up for keeping right now is Daniels. Yeah. In the next 2 to 3 years, I guarantee you that. Yeah,
probably. I appreciate the phone call. Let's do a quick trending alert, and then more of your calls coming up. Matt, I can't get rid of him, so if you could help me out with that, I would appreciate it. Let's do the quick trending alert, and then we're going to get more into Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne and how they handle individual different things. And we'll give you some of those analytics that tell a different story than what many people's eyes and thoughts were after Sunday's game. Let's do it right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so it was a season-opening loss for the Baltimore Ravens, but also they lost linebacker Kyle Van Noy, who was down on the field, sustained an eye injury. He called the Kansas City Chiefs medical staff, quote, unacceptable and unprofessional, said, I was disappointed by the way the training staff of the Chiefs handled the situation on his own podcast. I was supposed to see an ophthalmologist, and they took an entire quarter to get down to talk to me in the locker room, which to me is unacceptable. The Chiefs had no comment on that particular accusation. Meanwhile, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, problems on the field, problems still off the field. Another lawsuit filed earlier this week, a Jane Doe lawsuit. His attorney, Rusty Harden, who has represented him along the way, said, quote, Deshaun strongly denies the allegations in the Jane Doe lawsuit filed on Monday. We have asked him not to comment further while this matter works its way through the courts. The NFL says it is not putting him on the commissioner's exempt list, so he is expected to start this Sunday for Kevin Stefanski and the Browns against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Nats shut down big time last night, 12-0 by the Atlanta Braves. They'll try and get back on track. 6:45 tonight at Nationals Park with Jake Irvin on the bump. You can hear it 106.7 The Fam and the Odyssey app with Irvin against that Atlanta Braves lineup. And that's what's trending. All right, along with the voice of Howard University football, my guy, the youngest in charge.
I don't know when you're being Mr. complimentary. 4-10. I don't know when you're being genuine. I mean, because that's what you should refer to me as.
Are you not the voice of Howard University football?
Not to toot my own horn. I probably had one of the top three calls in all of Division I football this weekend. I mean that. I will wear that.
Wait.
I'd put it up against anybody.
Wait, so you're saying you listened to all 130 some odd broadcasts?
Game, I'm saying the way the game finished and just, I'm not here to toot my own horn, though.
I don't know yet.
Wait, he just said, I'm not here to toot my own horn, but I had one of the top three broadcasts in all of Division I football.
Beep, beep.
I mean, how is that not tooting your own horn?
That's being unbiased and honest and transparent. Sure. Jaden, until you beat New York, I honestly don't want to hear from you.
All right, let's get to this.
Sure.
Somehow we go from that to this. All right, so I wanted to get into this. We just started to sort of touch on it.
If you're about to do this and start, Deron was probably talking about you with the tweet.
Well, I don't know what the hell he was talking about. Deron Payne on Twitter said, quote, "You all can't hate me out the spot."
Can you say that first word again? Y'all. It's y'all. Jeez.
Y'all.
You know what that's called?
Y'all.
Isn't y'all a conjunction?
It should be Y apostrophe A-L-L, right? Yeah. It was just y'all.
Yeah, he didn't put the apostrophe. Yeah. Big whoop.
Y'all. Well, how did I say it? Y'all?
Y'all.
Okay. Y'all can't hate me out the spot.
Y'all can't hate him out the spot. Because all I've been seeing y'all non-football watching people say is how bad Deron Payne was, how Deron Payne is not worth the contract. You look at every metric from this weekend. Deron Payne was one of the best defensive linemen in all the NFL. All right.
Hate it or love it, I'ma be me.
I'ma be me.
I'ma be me. I'ma be him. I him.
I him. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yuck.
So now to your point, Deron Payne in the one metric that Linnell Willingham.
No, there's multiple metrics, Chris.
Looked at the defensive tackle pass rush win rankings. In the NFL in week one. And you scroll down a little bit.
Which one
are
you looking at?
You get to DeMarcus Walker, Zach Allen, Adam Butler, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, who will be here in just a couple of days, Christian Wilkins, who just signed a huge contract, Andrew Billings, somebody named Gervon Dexter Sr., a lot of Bears on this, Chauncey Golston. Then you get to tied for number 10. You get Jonathan Allen. And Deron Payne.
Can I give you another metric on Deron Payne?
Hang on. Can you let me finish, please?
Because I think you're trying to crap on it because it's 10th.
No.
You are.
I'm just giving you the raw data that you cited that you said.
It wasn't from there, but.
You said the pass rush win rankings. ESPN has the widely standardized pass rush win rankings that everybody uses.
Highest week one pressure rates on non-blitzes. That's edge rushers and defensive tackles. Deron Payne was third.
Okay.
I'm just giving you another metric.
That's fine, but you said pass rush win rankings. So I went and I looked at ESPN's pass rush win rankings, which are, again, it's not Adam Schefter charting this stuff. It's not Mike Greenberg charting this stuff. It's all computerized. It's all the chip technology, right? Yep. So again, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen tied for 10th among all defensive tackles, which is fine. Here's the numbers. Here's the raw data. They each were given credit for having two pass rush wins, okay? Two each on 11 plays is what they're saying on ESPN. A pass rush win rate of 18%. They're saying that Jonathan Allen was double teamed. Ready for this? 68% of the time, I presume on these, I presume on these 11 plays, and Deron Payne was double teamed on 53% of these plays. Okay, the 11 plays. So that is what ESPN, again, widely acclaimed, widely used, and you know what? That might not be Next Gen Stats. That might be ESPN Stats and Info. I can't remember exactly what they use. Now, you say, well, what is a pass rush win? Okay? And as I kept telling you, as I told you last segment, here's how they define it. It's actually ESPN Analytics. I'm sorry. So it is separate than Next Gen Stats. Oh, no. Okay. Hang on. They put it together, but they use player tracking data from Next Gen Stats. I wanted to clarify that because I thought it was from Next Gen Stats, but then I started getting confused. Here's how they define it. Our pass rush win rate metric tells us how often a pass rusher is able to beat his block within 2.5 seconds. Likewise, for offensive linemen. So basically what they're saying is Deron Payne and John Allen on 11 plays in which they charted, they had two wins on those 11 plays, and how they define a win is if they beat their block within 2.5 seconds, okay? So while you're all mad at me over there, I'm just giving you the data that very much exists. Not blitzing, not this, not that, not
unless I'm just a complete dummy. The numbers you just gave speak very favorably for how Duron and John play, correct? Am I tripping?
I mean, they were tied for 10th.
That's not bad.
They played fine.
Duron Payne, all he cared about was pass rushing, was second in the NFL in run stop win rate over the weekend as well.
Okay.
Amongst defensive tackles.
So let me now give you this, okay? You're saying that, okay? Different set of data. Now, this is charted by humans. Okay, so keep that in mind. But I'm sure they also consult with next-gen technology and all that. PFF had Jonathan Allen as a 54.2 overall player out of 100.
Mm.
Okay. His run defense, 60.5. His tackling, which really showed up in the second half, but at times in the first half, a wretched 28.3, which was a big bugaboo last year. His pass rush, a 50.5. That's all out of 100. Now, you say, well, that's Jonathan Allen. Okay. Here is Duron Payne. Now, he was the 6th overall rated defender on the Commanders, but a 63.1 overall out of 100. Again, fine, not great, fine. His run defense, which is what my eyes told me, not data, not technology, my eyes told me he was subpar, and they graded him a 48.5. And his tackling, a 26.3.
How can we blame
his... See, you're not listening to me when I say, yes, you're right. They won initially off the line of scrimmage. That is not their only job. That is not the job.
The job is
to play from snap to whistle.
So when the run defense broke down, which it did,
right?
Why did it break down?
They are being
shut. No. Can I ask you this? Why did the run defense break down?
Most of it was because they missed with arm tackles.
And their linebackers stink.
Yes, we're talking about the defensive line. I'm telling you, PFF, whether you like them, agree with them, or not. And
they're not my gospel. I
know a lot of people don't like them. Here's what I know. Duron Payne and Jonathan Allen both had miserable tackling grades. So either PFF is way off, or you're way off.
What's more
because
likely?
That you're way off.
What's more
because
likely?
That is part. See, you only care about one thing. You're like, well, off the snap, he beat his man. No. That's not the only job of a defensive tackle. That's not the only job.
Are you going to try to tell me you think I'm an idiot? That's the one thing I did do. I mean, Chris, my thing is don't. I feel like the criticism of those two is hyperbolized. Their run defense would look a hell of a lot better if the linebackers played worth the damn.
Correct.
If the safeties.
But that's why PFF's data, whether it's right or not, is important because they're not saying, hey, man, their run defense is a whole stunk. We all can acknowledge that. What they're saying is part of the reason why, a big part of the reason why their run defense sucked is because they did not tackle well.
You know what's crazy, though? ESPN's analytics and win rate rankings have them as the 5th best run stop win rate in the NFL in week one.
Yeah. Well, that's not what my eyes told me.
I mean,
if
clearly.
If you watch that game.
And that's what you got. You took
if you
away,
watch that game, did yeah. you think they
no,
were the...
No, of course
I
not.
Mean, even if you didn't watch
that was
every
the big,
other game.
I think that was ultimately the bigger problem. I told
right.
We said you have to
well,
make
it was
them,
a huge part of the problem. Well, I don't know if it was the bigger problem, but it was a huge
make,
part of the problem.
We said it last week. You have to make Tampa Bay one-dimensional.
Yes.
They were the worst running team in the NFL the past two
yep.
years. And they looked... The movement that they were getting... The way that their guards and interior linemen were getting up on the second level was really impressive. But, like, the linebackers stunk. Frankie Louvu stunk.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner stunk.
But again, you're skipping ahead, as you usually do. You're not – we were talking about the defensive tackles.
We are. We were.
Right? And what I'm telling you is, yes, you're correct. They were impressive off the snap on a lot of snaps or on a bunch of snaps. I saw that with my eyes. You saw it on tape. You've gone back and watched it. Everybody can see that if they know what they're doing and if they know what they're looking at. But my point is that you can't just pass rush win rate yourself to Canton. You can't just do that. You've got to be able to tackle. You've got to be able to stop the run. You've got to be able to stay in your gaps. You've got to be able to play snap to whistle.
Yeah.
And my question is, honestly, be honest, with all the metrics that we just threw out, good and bad, do you honestly think those two guys played great snap to whistle?
No one said they played great.
Did they play good snap to whistle?
They were okay.
Okay is different than good.
They were okay.
Okay is average, mediocre. Were, and I would say, you know what?
They were good at times.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, good at times. They played, there were 60 snaps. There were 60 snaps, I think it was 61 snaps that the Buccaneers ran on offense. Daron Payne played 39 of them, okay? Which, like, I think it's fair. That's about, what, two-thirds of the snaps, right? And Jonathan Allen played 40. So they did a pretty good job. That's about a 66, 67% usage rate compared to the amount of snaps that were run by the Buccaneers.
The thing that I think hurt Washington's run defense as well is how much they blitzed. And I think...
Washington.
Yes, Washington blitzed a lot.
Okay.
On Sunday.
And when you blitz
and you don't get home,
what
happens?
You leave
gaps. Yes. There are massive holes in their defense.
And you could see one where Daron Payne, and it's hard to describe on the radio, where Daron Payne slants into, I believe it was the left guard,
but
maybe it was
the
center,
that we
I can't
don't,
remember.
That's the other thing that it's hard to know. And I said this all offseason. While I love stunts, twists, games, loops, etc., it compromises
the mercy of the evaluator.
It compromises your run defense.
Oh,
100%.
Really?
When you say it really, that's what I've been saying all offseason.
No, I've been saying that.
Oh, well, I've been saying it.
All you have to do is watch Dan Quinn's defense in Dallas and understand that they were compromised in the run game.
Yes,
and it wasn't just because Dan Quinn's an idiot.
I asked Joe with this specifically.
Okay.
And he gave me the smart-ass answer of, well, we haven't run any games. I said, Joe, stunts and games and twists and loops was a big way that you all
Joe,
were able
did
to,
you know I put that on a T-shirt and I want to sell it at team980shop.com, which
was
doesn't
crazy.
Exist?
It was crazy because it was only me, David
Joe,
Harrison.
Joe, would you like to buy me a T-shirt?
It was me, David Harrison,
so I can make
Zach,
more money?
And Zach Selby. We're the only three in the press conference because no one gives a damn about his presser.
No, because they're all going on at the same time.
Well, this was training camp. And I asked Joe, the first question, I said, Joe, how do you strike the balance of using stunts, games, twists, loops, putting on a T-shirt to get pressure.
Airplanes, pulls.
How do you strike that balance of using
burnouts.
That to get pressure while not compromising your run defense? You know what he said? Well, we haven't run any stunts yet. That was his answer.
End quote. And you didn't believe him?
Well, that was preseason. Okay. They hadn't.
Right.
I mean, but I don't know.
But you were talking big picture
overall, though,
philosophy.
Yeah.
You weren't talking about what had already happened.
I was talking about philosophically.
That's fine. We got to take the time out. 252, team 980. We got a bunch of calls.
We need to hold some people accountable, including this coaching staff, for not having this team prepared.
Your reaction.
You don't want to blame coaches. I do.
Okay, fine. We'll discuss some of that. You know, there was a big debate last night. You may have missed it, right? Maybe you saw it. Maybe we'll debate Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr.
It was good background noise.
And whether they were prepared. Whether they were prepared and whether they had their team prepared next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. You know, Boy George.
I have a gripe with our producer.
Of the Culture Club. Hang on, before you start going there and, as usual, derailing the show. Was that, I think it was Wolf Trap last night? I believe it was. And I feel bad because Boy George, as I mentioned, follows me on Twitter. The real verified Boy George. He sought me out 7-8 years ago. Still follows me for some reason. I, in turn, follow him. It's a professional thing to do. It was before Twitter and X was ruined, but I feel bad because I would have gone to see Boy George. Instead, I went to go see the Nationals get shellacked.
Yeah, that wasn't a good trade.
No. I'm going to have a story on that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour during cleanup on aisle tree right here. What is your gripe with the producer, Matthew J. Essick?
Oh, wow, that's weird. Oh. You can't even really hear him when he has a gripe for the producer.
That's so funny.
Is my mic back on?
Yes, it is now.
Man, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
So is that.
I keep blowing it to make sure I can hear it. You all claim to be so enamored with music on this program. Mm-hmm. Frankie Beverly died today, and I haven't heard one Frankie Beverly and Mays song, Matt. Frankie Beverly is the history, culture, old culture.
I got to be honest with you. I've never heard of Frankie Beverly.
Huh. I'm
just being totally transparent.
The next person that picks up, please understand that the man you're talking to said he's never heard of Frankie Beverly.
I mean, you
never heard of Beverly and Mays?
No. You broke into the show last week with a rapper who unfortunately...
Rich Homie Quan, who was celebrated throughout the NFL this weekend when players scored.
I had never heard of him, ever. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you don't know a lot of things. I don't know a lot of things.
Really? We both don't know anything?
But I know a lot more than you.
Yeah. That's
just because I'm old and because I'm seasoned.
Jaden Daniels is at the podium, and I want to hear him.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to say? Did you like his answer to my question on Sunday night?
I love every answer he gives. He's the best podium quarterback we've had here.
I don't think so.
He's awesome at the podium.
I mean, he's
you're a hater.
I would say he's very
hater.
Short.
Sure.
I would say he's...
Jaden, why wouldn't you let the ball go on Sunday? What was stopping you?
You know, you are old.
Chris didn't say that. It was me.
I don't know yet.
Are you going to tell us when you talk?
Sure.
That's all I ask.
All right. Your call's coming up. Your call's coming up, I promise.
How and can you be Linnell, an aspirant in on the show?
Linnell wants to crush the coaching staff.
Oh, yeah,
wants
I do.
To crush the coaching staff.
And I want to crush Adam Peters.
So we'll tee that up on the other side on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.